When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Now we're in a transition a little bit. Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. And we, of course, are broadcasting live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your Hyundai dealers. I want to thank them for their contribution, and thanks to everybody. How about Evan Thomas? He gets us up and running.
Evan Thomas does a great job. Thomas is a tremendously motivated and committed young man. And right now, all of the people listening to us, thank Evan Thomas, can be the sixth caller to the Scores contest line. You can win a pair of tickets to see B96 B Bash at the Salt Shed December 12th, 312-540-0670. Be a part of the action at the Salt Shed on December 12th.
And thanks to everyone for calling, texting, emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening on this Monday.
Thanks to our executive producer, Dustin Rhodes. Thank you, Mr. Dustin.
Tough times don't last, but tough people do.
He's a tough guy. And thank you, Brandon Fryer, for your great work.
I mean, you'd be damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Say that all the time.
That's it. That's kind of how
that's life, isn't it?
And we've got Marshall Harris here this morning. Marshall, always a delight.
I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, it's just so much fun when you come in. And you're with Dan Bernstein.
Whoa. What was that in reference to? What did
you... I asked him about Xavier McKinney.
All right. Whoa.
I said that he seemed like a sensitive flower of a man. Yeah. You got to be careful.
He said, whoa.
You were pouring salt in the wounds this morning.
I would have
him. You were killing him. I was like, yo, DJ, don't hang up on these guys.
No. What? He's having a laugh.
When the question was about, maybe they should have run you at the end of the game and then like, ha ha ha. But like, he's clearly still, the sting is there from what happened at the end of the game.
Yeah, he handles that stuff pretty well.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, and the truth is, he really could be a Debo Samuel type.
No question, if he wanted to.
And he is.
They use him as a running back.
Essentially,
he is a guy that had two plays yesterday where he was essentially a running back. And then a third that maybe he was asked to... He's a running back who plays wide receiver.
So more of that.
And maybe
more of that,
because
exactly.
We don't see him enough, which looks like a problem that's been corrected. But we hadn't seen him enough. But when he catches the ball in traffic, he goes forward. He doesn't just go down when he catches the ball.
Plays work better.
He lowers his center of gravity, and he runs with a forward lean of the really good running backs do.
It's a running back thing.
It is.
That spin move was awesome.
It was a great spin move.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't always work.
I also think that the Bears, the one thing I really liked, one of the many things I really liked about what Thomas Brown did so reasonably, and just doing everything that everyone said the Bears should do, is reducing the formations.
Yeah.
Like, instead of spreading everybody out wide all the time, they give themselves more room on the edges for a lot of those whip routes and out patterns. And it's hard to run stuff to the flat when there's no flat.
Yeah.
So I really liked the way he compressed a lot of the formations.
I thought he called a pretty good game overall.
I agree.
I thought he called an excellent game, but a lot of that is recency bias and seeing how badly the games had been called prior 3 weeks.
I thought they should have won.
Yeah, you could say that about any number of Matty Eberflus games.
But that one,
do you know how many should have won?
On the last play.
Yeah, you know how many should have won days they've had?
Too many.
Under this guy?
Yeah, too many.
Yeah.
What is it, 5-17 in one score games under Eberflus?
Two in the last four games. And those two walk-off losses were avoidable.
And if they had the lead going into the fourth quarter, they don't tend to win the games.
You can tolerate that stuff in year one, maybe year two, not year three.
Yeah, this is over.
Not over because we get to have him for the rest of the season, it seems like.
Apparently. And I'm thinking, look, if Thomas Brown can just make him the head coach already.
Well,
if he's the difference with even the clock management was better.
Yeah. No, even they got out of the huddle better. They
did the double dip. They got a 10-0 double dip over halftime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did that well.
They did.
They did a lot of things.
It makes you ask questions.
I'm saying if that is Thomas Brown, just give him the headset.
Well,
That's more problems, though, because now he's doing two jobs as well.
I do wonder, even though tradition says otherwise, they've never have made a move in season, but they had never fired an offensive coordinator in season
either.
And
there's a lot of season left.
There's seven games left.
Not that much. Well, I'm going to put it like this. I don't think there's that much season left, and here's why. Because we're really looking at a three-game stretch. Right.
Marshall, seven games they will play.
No.
Regardless of where they are in the
standings. I understand what you're saying.
That's a lot of football.
When I say it's not a lot of football, I'm looking at it in this is we're in a chunk right now. And the chunk is the three division games in a row. So what I'm saying is we're going to know something.
The chunk is a boulder rolling right at you. Okay?
Yeah. No. But
seven games, all against playoff teams.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. If they don't win against Minnesota, that's one thing. But if they beat Minnesota, now you go into Thanksgiving Day.
They're trying to push up a hill.
We got a chance to be a .500 team. And they could have won the game after seeing what they did Sunday. Is there any reason to say they can't beat Minnesota?
Yeah, there is.
The reason?
The reason is because they can't close. They can't close.
But
the reason is they can't beat anyone.
This is not a talent issue. This is not
they
an execution issue.
And I think because it's not a talent issue, that's why they have a chance to beat Minnesota. Because it's not a talent issue.
So
and maybe another week with Thomas.
I agree. You see examples of teams that can win in spite of obstacles in their way, coaching or otherwise. I just don't see enough evidence the Bears are this kind of team this year.
So 4-13.
Right now, they're closer to 4-13 than they are 9-8.
Whoa, not 9-8. I was saying 4-13 versus 6-11.
They're closer to 4-13 than they are 6-11.
Okay, well there you go.
they're playing seven playoff teams.
I understand.
Yeah, to me, it's just they have not earned trust.
Absolutely.
I agree. Of course an NFL team can win. And weirdly, sometimes you show up, everybody's biorhythm is off, or for whatever reason, it's just not your day. We've seen it in this league. We've all stood there as guys are headed to the locker room like, I don't know what that was. You know, it happens. Right. But it does take some level of trust.
It happens to them.
I would say
more
this.
Than others.
If they do lose the next two games, you cannot have Matt Eberflus trying to quote unquote steward a ship anywhere after two more losses. Maybe they make Thomas Brown the head coach. Matt Eberflus can't be in the building.
So you're saying Thanksgiving, so Black Friday is going to be that for the coaching staff?
If they lose both the next two games,
you fire everybody on Thanksgiving weekend?
Not everybody. The common denominator in the last 3 years for the Bears.
I can't wait to hear your football argument how they're going to win one of the next two games.
But I'd like the idea that
that's what people said about this week.
Having a party,
and they lost.
Okay, they did
like
lose.
Pilgrims, and then you fight.
Wait, what did they say?
They trace their hand to make a construction paper
like
turkey.
A turkey.
Yeah,
like we're going back to grade school. Yeah.
Saying you have a nice celebration. Yeah. And everybody's there breaking bread and remembering that.
It's like a Last Supper.
Yesterday, the Bears suffered a massive loss of confidence and credibility in addition to losing a game.
Is that different than the prior 3 weeks?
That's the point. It's no different. No. It's bad becoming worse.
No. I disagree.
Snowballing into awful.
If you watch that game.
Catastrophic.
If you watch
Marshall,
that game.
No, there was no.
They didn't have a lead?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
If it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. You're one, great. I'll talk to you all day about moral victories. You're two.
No. I'm not talking about moral victories. I'm talking about removing.
You're year three. I don't care how well you played or how long you led. You lost.
Okay.
Because they didn't push the right buttons.
They did lose because Matt Eberflus was guiding this team and making decisions at the end of the game. That's why you have to get rid of him. That's my point. And my point is this also. Thomas Brown said, hey, you need a competent guy who doesn't ruin Caleb Williams. You know what I saw? I saw a quarterback takes several steps back and then take a step back forward, even if it's just back to break even coming into the bye. And so what I'm saying is, in order not to ruin the progress that I saw yesterday on the field, because you can say moral victory all you want, I don't care about that. All I care about is the development of a quarterback that was drafted number one overall.
I can't wait to see who his third offensive coordinator is.
Okay.
He ain't gonna get three.
No, I'm talking about Caleb Williams.
He's talking about Caleb Williams. He's not talking about Matt Eberflus. Okay. No, I followed you there, David.
Boys,
what do you got?
Well, we're gonna do it up. That's powdered toast, man.
Oh, okay, I see. I thought he was bigger than that.
No,
he's as small as he needs to be.
He made the trip to Wisconsin. We brought him there. He had to see what it looked like on the other side, and he made it back safely. And this game was indeed worthy of Friday's Brat Bowl, I believe. It was at least entertaining. We're going to take a bunch of phone calls today, because if you can't do it today, what's the point? Anthony Heron will join us at 11. We are going to hear from Matt Eberflus when he speaks. We will turn that around for you and have our fun with it. Dan Wiederer at 1, and we'll follow all the news out of Hallis Hall.
Have a great show. Guys, have a great one.